Today on Real Radio.
For the husband is head of the wife, and also as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Listen, guys, husbands, are you not supposed to be the savior of the body of your home?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a series of passages that are by far among the most discussed, debated, and even misunderstood in church history. The section of chapter 11, which is the basis for our study today, it's where Paul deals with the issues like hair length for men and women and husbands being the head of the home. It's a riveting section of Scripture indeed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Authority, Submission, and Love.
The message that Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers about, church, is that there is an authority and that is seen in redemption, that God is speaking to us, and it's announcing the life and the purpose of man. And note takers this morning, there is a play on words here regarding man. Yes, it means a man as a male. Yes, the word also means man as mankind. Mankind, you know, involves, includes, must have male and female, mankind. You as a human are a member of mankind, be it male or female. And this is very important. Authority, God says it matters. He says in verse 3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. He announces this, making a declaration, church, of a very, very powerful truth. Redemption and the purpose of man is this, to recognize that Christ is the Redeemer. He's the Savior. You sang a moment ago worship songs to whom? Regarding what? Christ our Savior. That the Lord is a warrior, Dominic sang. What does that mean? Number one thing is God fights our lost condition. God fights that. He is a warrior in the sense that he brings us a rescue. He brings us salvation. And that obviously is the purpose of man, is to know God and through that truth experience life. The Bible teaches us throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation that the ultimate truth about who Christ is that he is the Savior, the leader, the head, the authority over mankind itself. Romans chapter 12. Am I talking fast? I was thinking of the reggae thing. I'm thinking if I could teach like Dominic can sing, I could get through all my notes every service. You realize the value of that? I'm gonna have him teach me that. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee should bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That is in the day of judgment. The authority of Christ in redemption is that he presides over mankind. Church, listen. Does Jesus Christ love humanity? Is this true? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that true? That is an absolute truth of God, and it reveals the very nature of God. God is love. And you need to keep this in mind. God's authority, don't let our culture invade that word. Don't let your previous experiences tamper with that word. God's authority over mankind is rooted in his nature. The more you know his nature of who he is, the more you will love up to, get close to, enjoy the authority of God. It is a good, wonderful thing. His authority as a purpose and as a life for mankind. The Bible says in Philippians 2:10, supporting Romans chapter 14, which supports the book of Isaiah. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that is the spirit realm. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 11 tells me this morning that that's the great cosmic battle today in the world around us. Is Jesus Christ, is he Lord over your life? This is the issue. I kid you not, I can prove this if I had the time. This is the issue regarding the United Nations. This is the issue regarding people in the world today. If they know about him or not, the issue is Jesus Christ Lord? The moment you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, honestly, that he is Lord, it changes your entire look on life, your entire lifestyle. It changes your eternal destination. If Jesus Christ was embraced and understood to be the Lord that he is by all people, then you know how people want peace on earth? There would be peace on earth. There wouldn't be Islamicist radicals in Somalia watching that you're watching the news today slaughter the Somali people. You see them dying by the thousands right now. That wouldn't be happening. There wouldn't be what's going on in Washington right now if Jesus was Lord. Listen, downtown LA wouldn't have homeless people if Jesus was Lord. This is a serious issue. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus will come back and he will establish his kingdom. The church, I want to make this very clear, the church will never establish his kingdom on earth. You understand that? This is a heresy where people teach that the church can take over governments and take over nations and usher in the kingdom. That's heresy. Jesus is going to return. But in the world that you and I live in, every person should know in our lives that know us, believer or non-believer, you know what? Jesus is Lord in that guy's life. Everywhere they go, they're a blessing to people. Everywhere they go, they're, wow. Why is that true as believers? Why should this church make a difference in the world? Because of the authority of God. It's the authority of God. Church, listen, are you with me? That causes us to jump up and say, yes, I get to do this for Jesus. Not, oh no, I guess I have to do this for Jesus. We revel in his authority. And that's our purpose. And every man, now I'm going to talk to the men, every man in this room, if you're a Christian today, and the word means if you're not a Christian, mankind, if you are a human man, a human being, you are to show submission to Jesus Christ. And you might say today, I don't believe in God. That's your problem, not mine. And believe me, it's a big problem you have. The Bible says that you, by very, very position and place, are to be yielding authority to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of your decision making and all of your living, and that's never more true than a Christian man. A Christian man should be a living example. You know, I thought at that, all the women would have shouted amen at that. All Christian men should be a living, breathing example of what it means for a man to have the authority of Christ over his life. That a man is to be seeking the will of God for his life, for his wife, for his children, for his city, for his nation, for his world. The Christian man should be, you know what? We should have a hard time distinguishing the difference between a Christian man and Jesus when he walked on earth. So caring, so loving, so compassionate. None of this dictatorial, authoritative idea of woman, submit to me, I'm the man. Nobody speaking by the Spirit of God can talk to their wife or children or their culture that way. Nobody should show up and say, look, I'm a man, I'm ordained by God, submit to me, all you ends of the earth. That's wrong. That's not Christ. Which leads us to this. In verse 3 it says, and the head of a woman is man. Two understandings are here. Number one, the context of marriage. Preeminently, of course. And number two, most scholars say that this word also means, because it's found in Scripture, is regarding spiritual authority. And we'll talk about that in a minute and what it means. It's very important. Submission in the life and the purpose of a woman sounds so foreign in our culture today. And that it says here, in the head of a woman is man. I have to tell you something before I get into this. I could probably get in trouble about this, but I can tell you this, that sociologists tell us that that probably the most destructive movement in modern history has been the feminist movement. You know, look, I'm 50-something. After 50, you forget. I think I'm 53. I'm not exactly sure. But after 50, it doesn't matter because you just forget. So here's the thing. I grew up in an age where my sister was 10 years older than me at the time. And I remember growing up in that era of, what is it, 60s and 70s? I remember seeing women declare their independence and freedom. The feminist movement has arrived and we are going to be free, independent. And I look, you guys, I lived in Orange County, San Diego County, and then Orange County. You guys, in the 60s and 70s, I saw women as a young kid take off their tops and burn their bras. And there may be bra burners in here. You may be of that age. And what's amazing, we're free. Oh yeah, great. Yeah, we're gonna burn our bras. Okay. And what they celebrated as freedom back then, now they've gotta go to the doctor to fix their mistakes. You know what I'm saying about that? I burned my bra in the 60s and now I need to get a lift in the 90s or whatever. Why? I'm free. Hey, listen, freedom has responsibilities. And just because you can burn your bra doesn't mean you're free. The feminist movement destroyed families. It destroyed marriages. It destroyed children. It destroyed, number one, women. It was a terrible thing. And honestly, I don't mean to start a fight, but I can't figure out, because of course the source was secular and godless, but I can't find a good thing that came out of the feminist movement that benefits the woman today. It was the feminist movement that caused pornography to explode. And there's a long litany of cultural results of all of that. Listen, believe it or not, as a Christian man, as a Christian woman, and Jesus Christ himself would say, as Messiah, there's liberty in submission. There's liberty. Jesus, we're going to see, is our example of what submission should be. And all around the world right now, there is the growth and the advancement of the religion of Islam. And if you know Arabic, Islam, the word Islam in Arabic is submit. And we're going to hear a lot about submission and what it is and what it is not. Submission, write this down. You're going to want to write this down. Submission based upon biblical theology cannot mean tyranny. It cannot mean imposition. It cannot mean obligation. Did you hear what I said? Submission cannot mean and does not mean in biblical context, you must submit. If you want that kind of a treatment, then you're going to need to join a cult. Because the truth of the matter is, God invites you, hello, he invites us to submit. Is that cool? A husband should say, honey, look, sweetie, let me tell you a secret right now. You need to pray for me. Because in the end, I have to stand before judgment of Christ. First of all, number one, just for being born a man, I'm going to be in trouble for that. Because God expects, I didn't make it up, God expects certain things out of my life. And one of it is make sure that you and this family gets to heaven on time. And sweetheart, that terrifies me. And so I need you to help me and support me and pray for me because frankly, I don't know quite what I'm doing. It's terrifying. And I'm going to stand before God and give an answer for this in the end. And I need you. I need you very, very badly because I want to and I have to be able to love you like no man on the planet could have ever loved you. And so because I'm going to be held responsible for that, I submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that you, in submission to me, pray for me, support me, help me in this venture. So, honey, let's do this. Why? Because you and I are not independent from one another. We are a team, and we're going to come across the finish line together. And if a man has some other view than that, it's not biblical. Listen, clue. Wife, if your husband puts you in a headlock and says, submit, God's not speaking right now at that time, okay? Not gonna happen. Not God's will. Submission, the life and the purpose of a woman is freedom. It's an amazing statement. The Bible says, by the way, in Ephesians 5:21, regarding marriage, submitting to one another in the fear of God, in the awe and reverence of God, wives must submit, or wives submit, excuse me, to your own husbands as to the Lord. See the connection? See, why should I submit to that knucklehead of mine? Because listen, God knows he's your husband and God wants you to honor his position. Look, I could not disagree more, and I have not disagreed more in my lifetime than with this president. But let me tell you something, he's the president. We honor, as Americans, the office. Okay? If he walked into this room right now, I would pay him honor because of the office. I may not like his policies or his beliefs, but I will honor his office. And you might say, well, I don't like my husband's actions, and he picks his nose, and his feet stink. And hey, listen, listen. The truth is, God has appointed him husband. You say, no, 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 I'm the one who married him. I'm the one who picked him. Listen, God was in all of that. And maybe God was saying you should have prayed harder before you picked him. I don't know. But okay, I'm just poking fun now. But that verse goes on in Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit. The word is willingly desire to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, because God wants you to willingly, lovingly submit to him. For the husband is head of the wife, and also as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Listen, guys, husbands, are you not supposed to be the savior of the body of your home? Absolutely. It's interesting, remember this, in marriage, you and I love looking out on a dark, dark night, a full moon. It's brilliant, we love it. Where I live, it's pretty dark. In my backyard, it's really dark. And when the moon is out in its full strength, there's great shadows across my yard. Why? Because the moon is so bright. Why is the moon so bright? It's full. But why does it shine? It's reflecting the sun. Number one, as a Christian man, as a Christian period, male or female, we should be reflecting the glory of the Lord. Now listen, guys, hang on to your seats. Your wife, my wife, reflects publicly how I shine on her. If I'm shining on her, appreciation, love, thanksgiving, compliments, let me tell you something, she starts to reflect it. And she... She starts to glow. And a woman like that, well, you know what? You can read about her. She's in Proverbs 31. You can't stop her. She's an animal. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's so excited. She's so encouraged about life. That woman gets up early in the morning before the sun comes up, the Bible says. And she works all day long. She's got her own business. Read Proverbs 31. It's awesome. She's got her own business. She's making money on the side. She's clothing her kids. She's blessing her husband. She's got her friends. It's an amazing life. You read Proverbs 31, it's like, man, that's awesome. Why is she able to do that? Because the Bible says that her husband blesses her. And all of us reflect to some degree where our faith is founded and the one that we're living for. The Bible tells us that husbands ought to give themselves as Christ gave himself for the church. A woman in the context of marriage, tragically also in culture, which we don't see today, we rarely see in marriage. A woman, I'm not kidding you guys, the meaning of this word is a woman should delight in submitting to the leadership of her husband because she knows that that man prays. Because you might be here today saying, man, I wish my wife submitted to me like that. Hey, listen, give her someone to submit to. Amen. Give her a reason. Guys, listen. Let her catch you praying. Let her find you reading the Word of God. Let her experience the fact that you say to her, honey, it's Saturday morning, get out of bed. We're going to go down to First Baptist Church of Pomona in Wachino Hills, and we're going to feed the homeless today. Come on, let's go. You say, what? Let's go, come on. Let me tell you something. This is a funny thing. I'm clearly not going to get through my notes today. This is God. God's doing something here right now. Okay, listen, what's going on is this, is that if a man doesn't lead humbly in response to God in the fear of the Lord, if he doesn't lead, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that because of the fall, that a woman will seek to have control over the man. Did you know it says that? It says that Eve will seek to dominate Adam. It says it in Genesis. What is that? When a man doesn't lead, a woman will. Yeah, I can prove it. When a man is silent at home and not a spiritual leader, the wife takes control of the kids and the wife leads the home. And listen, when she's not with you, mister, she'll tell her friends or her pastor, I wish my husband would lead. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I was not built for this. Women, in most cases, are longing for the man to lead. He's to lead them out in victory. Who is? The man. To lead them out. And when a man leads, as a Christian, an amazing thing happens regarding the submission of the woman. She wipes her brow, so to speak, and goes, whew, praise God. I'm free. How are you free? He's praying for this family. He's disciplining the kids. He's encouraging the kids. He's leading the kids in prayer. He's leading the kids in understanding their world. And we'll see, well, man, well, if I do all that, Pastor, what is she going to do? Watch, listen, watch and see what she does. Look, ladies, please don't be upset when I tell you this. I'm not, if you think this wrong, you took it wrong. When a woman is led by a loving man, those things that our culture mocks regarding, what do they say, domestic things, the woman begins to love. And I'm not putting women down. God knows, I can barely scramble an egg, or I cannot make a cake. Say, what are you saying? What a sexist, macho step. No. Listen. Look, I have no problem going to battle and shooting somebody or cutting off their head in war. No problem. I mean, I'm a guy. That's what we do. We're warriors like that. God made us a warrior. You say, Pastor, are you allowed to say that? I just said it. It's true. And a woman, by nature, she's most fulfilled, not when she's cutting off heads and killing dragons. Okay, that's not normal. She doesn't want to do that. You know what she wants to do? She gets incredible internal fulfillment when she's taking care of the kids and when watching them raise and grow and do this and teaching him and her how to do that. She loves it. There's a sense, and I don't get it. I'm thinking, well, that's great, sweetheart. I get it. Let me teach them how to cut off dragons' heads. And that's the difference. There's nothing macho or cynical about that in any way. We are different. But we've been created by God in the image of God to bring glory to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of this study, Authority, Submission, and Love. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at one of the most discussed, debated, and even most misunderstood passages in church history. Authority, Submission, and Love. That's the title of this series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, it's real easy. Just point and click when you visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to stay in touch with all the things that are Real Radio. Listen to past editions of Real Radio. Email your question to Ask Pastor Jack. That's our Friday feature, by the way. Learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month. Find out where the program airs. But you can also subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional. It's called Words to the Wise. More and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing to Words to the Wise and really enjoying and benefiting from it. And you can too. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And click on the button on the right there that says devotional. realradioactive.org. Go there when you get a chance. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.